You knew this had to happen sooner or later. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policies. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
As always, Barry, great to be back with you. Sitting here in the studio fighting a couple battles by email while we're doing our show. So I've put it all aside for now, and we'll see what happens.
Okay. Well, there's some other battles that we're probably going to end up fighting sooner rather than later, Chuck, because as we're looking around and when we do our research for this program, we come across things from all over the fruit and plain and sometimes internationally. But this one's coming out of Washington State. Yes, folks, the left coast is being heard from loud and proud again, because Washington State is trying to be a trendsetter, that their state legislature, that is. They are trying to be the first state in the country. Well, let me back up, Chuck, because they've already been first at something. They became the first state in the union back in 1970. Now, this was 3 years before a United States Supreme Court decision that we all know and loathe. Washington was the first, now the only state, to legalize elective abortions by popular vote. In other words, if we went back to local sovereignty and state sovereignty and took abortion out of the hands of the federal government, women could still go to Washington State and get elective abortions because they voted it in, even before the Roe v. Wade issue. Well, that's not good enough for Washington State. They really want to be the left flank of the left coast, I think. So what they're doing right now, and this is being spearheaded by a state representative by the name of Eileen Cody, who has introduced legislation that would put forward in Washington statute that any insurer who does business in the state of Washington and who provides maternity care coverage, in other words, if you'll provide insurance coverage for pregnancies, they are going to say that you must cover elective abortions. Their belief is if it's an elective pregnancy, then if somebody doesn't want the pregnancy, the insurance should cover it just the same. If you're going to cover one to birth, you should cover one to death, I guess is what they're talking about, Chuck. Now, the bill passed the House of Representatives in the state of Washington on a vote of 53-43 and is now sitting in the Washington State Senate. Now, Chuck, I was going to say, you knew it had to happen sooner or later. With everything that's been going on around Obamacare and the states lining up and state exchanges and the Medicaid expansions, and we've talked about that before on this program with the governor here in Ohio wanting to expand Medicaid and what that could imply. Well, Washington's just basically, as we'd say, thrown the skirts off and they're ready to just jump in both feet. They want to just say, listen, you're going to do business in Washington State as insurer, you got to pay for abortions because in Washington State, abortions are legal, and we did it. We voted it in by popular vote back in 1970, so here we go. Now, the funny thing is, Chuck, is Washington State is actually going against the tide. Not a surprise, because according to an article in FoxNews.com that was published on Sunday, 21 states have adopted bans or restrictions on insurance companies paying for abortion, and Ohio is among those. But Washington State wants to go exactly 180 degrees the opposite direction.
Well, I'll be quite frank. Having read this article twice, I'm having a heck of a time figuring out actually what's going on. Well, now, I know I think I've pieced it together.
This is just showing the level of journalism at Fox News, I hate to say it, because this article is very poorly written. But
basically, you can't tell the players without a scorecard, and I've got a scorecard, and I can't tell the players anyway.
Well, what happened was, like I said, this bill was introduced in the State House of Representatives. It's called the Reproductive Parity Act. Parity, P-A-R-I-T-Y, meaning equality. So the Reproductive Parity Act basically says if you're going to write insurance, write any business in the state of Washington as an insurance provider, you have got to provide coverage for elective abortions. In other words, if somebody wants to murder their unborn baby, you're going to have to pay for it. And the lobbyist for NARAL Pro-Choice Washington said this is a core value for Washingtonians. Now, I wonder, Chuck, like I said, Washington State's the left flank of the left coast. I wonder, really, if that was put up to another vote, if there would be the same outcome. because as we know nationally, there's been a swing toward being more pro-life across the country. And it's usually the upper New England states that are still mired in their pro-abortion positions. But usually the rest of the country looks like they're swinging majority pro-life and or moving back toward some type of balance in this respect. So I'm not sure that if I were NARAL, I'd be wanting to call this a core value for Washingtonians.
Well, here's how you find out.
Yeah.
You propose. Let's do a follow-up. Let's do another vote to make sure everybody... In fact, we'll give you the opportunity. We think maybe you may have a heavier margin than you got last time. Prove it.
Exactly. Prove it.
And now, when you see them squawk and say, no, 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 we don't need to do this again. We did it once. That's good enough. You'll know that the answer is...
That the polls are showing it's going the other way.
Yes.
Okay, so basically what you had was Eileen Cody, who's a Democrat state rep from Seattle, introduced this bill. It went through the committee process, the House voted on it, passed it 53-43, not a surprise because Washington State has a fairly leftist legislature. They sent it over to the state Senate. Well, the state Senate is wrestling with the bill right now, and they're very concerned because the supporters, the NARAL folks, say they've got the votes they need in the Senate. But they said it's not clear that the Senate leadership will allow it to get to the floor. Now, it's interesting, Chuck, because the reason why this is strange is because Senate leadership is being governed or quarterbacked by somebody who's a supporter of the bill. Somebody who, surprise, surprise, was a Democrat who decided to cross party lines and caucus with the Republicans, thus giving them the majority in the Washington State Senate. See, he said he and one other like-minded Democrat, so two Democrats, cross party lines, caucus with the Republicans. They're still registered Democrats, but now they're caucusing with the Republicans. Well, the Republicans then ended up gaining control of the state Senate. And they have now a one-vote majority. And so what do they do to reward this gentleman whose name is Rodney Tom? He's a senator. He's a Democrat senator. They basically installed Rodney Tom as the either Washington State GOP Senate Caucus Majority Leader. So in other words, there's a Democrat leading the Republicans in the Washington State Senate. That's okay. We've seen that before in our state.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the first time. I mean, it's happened in the early part of the Republic. It used to happen all the time. Henry Clay was a Whig, but he led the democratically controlled House at one point. So go figure.
Yeah, well, basically, Tom, who's the majority leader, the Democrat who's caucused with the Republicans to give them the majority, first time in a decade the Republicans have controlled the Senate. He supports the bill. He actually went out to a rally, according to this Fox News report. He went to a rally for the supporters where he did the rah-rah, and he wants to make sure his 17-year-old daughter has the kind of protections that we need in Washington State and that all of our kids have those same kind of protections. So what he means by protections is insurance coverage in case you go out and be promiscuous and you want to get rid of the result.
Yeah.
That's the protections he's talking about. But it's interesting because the governor, Jay Inslee, who also spoke at this rally, who's a Democrat, is probably still a little miffed at Tom for caucusing and giving power to the Republicans in Washington State. Although, if you listen to our program yesterday, you realize that especially at the national level and in many state levels, there's not a dime's worth of difference between the Republican Party and the Democrat Party in power, depending on who's in power as to what they do. They really have ultimately a similar agenda.
To coin a phrase, maybe we should get that out there. Not a dime's worth of difference between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. I don't think anybody's ever said that before, have they?
I don't think they have either, no. I think it's unique to me.
Oh.
But basically, I guess the governor kind of threw a backhand slap and said that the people deserve a vote in the state Senate on this act. And so what they're trying to say is if Rodney Tom, he calls himself a fiscal conservative, Chuck, but a social moderate. Well, we all know what that means. That means he's liberal. A liberal who, when push comes to shove, is going to be voting leftist government expansion and higher taxes because that's historically when you start looking at voting records. If somebody calls themselves a fiscal conservative and a social moderate to liberal, pretty soon they are fiscally liberal too because they will lean to that worldview. So basically, this whole situation is all set up because you've got a mess in Washington state politics, but they're arguing that the Affordable Care Act, in other words, Obamacare, said that the insurers have to segregate the premiums they collect for abortion coverage. So, in other words, the Washington state are saying, well, we have to make sure because if they segregate it out, they may not cover it. So we're going to require that the insurers cover for abortions.
Well, honestly, I think this is a pig in a poke. It makes to the constituents at home look like they're doing something. First of all, the article points out, and I thought the same thing before I read it, abortions are cheaper than live births. Why would they not want to cover abortions? Why would there be any question of them continuing to pay $500 instead of $10,000 or $12,000?
Well, Chuck, part of it could link down to certain insurance providers who write policies for, say, certain groups like, oh, the Catholic Church.
Okay, yeah, but we're looking at something, this versus that. Again, $500 versus $10,000. Yeah, there will probably be some insurers who would want to, on a policy basis, based on their social policy, not want to write those policies. And, of course, this is the gleeful liberals attempting to force people of conscience to pay for things that they find repugnant and, in fact, find to be an abomination. There's nothing new about this. This is what abortion provision at the federal level has been all about all along. This is about turning abortion into a right when, in fact, it's not a right. God did not give the right to murder your unborn. And since rights come from God, you cannot argue that abortion is by any stretch of the imagination a right. But this is one of those worldview issues we're getting into here, Barry. These guys would argue, for instance, this Senator Tom would argue that he's a libertarian.
Right.
It's all about freedom of choice. That's not what freedom of choice is all about. The choice that you make is what form of birth control that you're going to use. And it's the state has the authority, because rights are given by God, to require that that birth control method not include abortifacients. But the state isn't doing it in this case. They've taken a coercive approach. And of course, that has nothing to do with libertarianism. It's coercion. Coercion and libertarianism are oxymoronic.
Well, that's true. But Chuck, one of the things that this whole exercise in Washington state, I think, is leading me to, especially since they're saying that because under the Affordable Care Act, they have to segregate it out, but it left states the ability to regulate the insurance industry in their state and the exchanges, et cetera. Some people in Washington state want to take this extreme and write into state law this requirement for insurers that what they have to do or what they can't do. Now, I think this is an interesting microcosm on the flip side, because on tomorrow's program, Chuck, I want to talk about a measure in Ohio that seeks to protect us from these problems with Obamacare that was just introduced recently that also uses the same type of strategy.
I'm glad you're bringing this up, because the same thought came to my head. Again, great minds think alike.
Well, speaking of great minds, I'm thinking we're probably about out of time for today's program.
We have just a few moments left, and in those moments, let's remind everybody, please come out and join us at our conference, our Semper Reformanda conference, always reforming.
Right, and it'll be Friday, April 26th, and Saturday, April 27th, Grace Orthodox Presbyterian Church on Postlethwaite Road in Northwest Columbus.
There you go, in Northwest Columbus. Are you doing a breakout?
Yes.
Okay, I need to discuss that with you, because apparently I'm doing one too. And ladies and gentlemen, I've got an issue, because I have to figure out, I've been called for jury duty.
Well, we need to talk a little bit about jury duty and jurors on a later program this week, I think.
You bet. You bet. So again, join us April 26th and 27th, a day and a half of great teaching on the Reformation. And it's not just boring, dull old history, man. You're going to learn about how we can use the things that have been done in the past to restore our society today and restore our churches. And we invite you to come out and hear great teaching by Pastor Joe Moorcraft, who has a degree in history and also is a great preacher out of Cumming, Georgia. And, of course, these two numbskulls named Barry Sheets and Chuck Michaelis. And Chuck doesn't even have an idea yet for sure what he's going to teach. So that being the case, Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.